Yes.
Yes, this week was the first Republican debates. What are your thoughts on it, bro? I'll let you have it.
One, first, and okay, so I have a lot of thoughts on this. One, it was a bit of a shit show, but what is Chris Christie doing? I mean, there are several reasons why this man will never get the primary. And did you hear all the boos? I mean, you just it like, you know, he can stand up for moral principle and all that. I don't think his campaign is headed in the right direction. If your campaign is built on taking down Donald Trump, you're automatically alienating at least half your Republican base. So I'm not quite sure what the thought is there. I would have to say of all the Republican candidates, I like Ramaswamy, man. I like Ramaswamy.
All right, first let me say this, man. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Let me see this. I could not finish the Republican first debate in the primary. I couldn't. I could not finish the debate. I only got halfway through because it was just fucking stupid to me. And let me explain why. The first fundamental flaw of modern debates right now is the crowd. You're gonna have to get rid of the crowd. It's too much playing to the crowd, trying to get cheers. And
Well,
that platform and that format is really doing damage to the meat and the substance of a debate. You can't really get to the issues because everybody's trying to talk over everybody to get the cheers and the jeers and the boos. I did not really like that. I thought that was terrible. Even the point where Brett Barry had to turn around and be like, hey, y'all, shut the fuck up. Because we can't get through it. So
Well,
you really got to get rid of the crowd. That's the first thing.
I think that's politics, though.
No, that's not politics. That's
Really?
the format. Like, politics is
No.
a murky game, but if you got rid of the crowd, man, it wouldn't be that much showboating. Like, that's the thing about modern politics. And you can
So
trace
are
this
you
back.
thinking, are you saying having a debate with just a few people,
No, I'm
like
saying have
without
no
crowds, or?
crowd. Like, have a debate with no crowd. Televise it, having no crowd. And you wouldn't see
Okay.
all that showboating as much as you do. Like, it's
Okay,
been,
I
you can
see where
trace
you're
it
coming
back.
from now.
You
I
can
see
trace
where
it
you're
back to,
coming
like,
from now.
man, before Reagan and, you know, and everybody, when even JFK, which you can trace it back to, the whole celebrity being important and showboating and having style over substance. But in that debate, there was a few times I heard policy, and I was like, yes, finally some policy. But most of that, especially from your boy Ramaswamy, was just showboating, bro. It was just really, it looked like dude was pivoting himself to be the next Trump because he knows what I know, that Trump ain't gonna be the nominee, and some people gonna want somebody like Trump. And not saying he's totally Trump, but he is walking that line. That's the first thing I didn't like with the debate. Second thing
Well,
I
I
didn't like about
think.
the debate is the candidates. Every candidate besides Ramaswamy and Asa Hutchinson was basically under Trump in the administration. So that's the first thing I didn't like. It's like, okay, all you
Well.
guys are gonna have to kowtow to Trump to a point. But on the Chris Christie kick, he's gonna have to kind of make distance and slam Trump. But it's how you do it. I left out of there thinking what I've been saying from the jump. The strongest candidate on that stage is Nikki Haley. That's the one. That's the one who damn near gonna win this whole thing. Nikki Haley. She's the only
Well,
one I saw that carried herself presidentially, can probably win the middle, and gave a little leeway on some hardline issues that she had previously. Besides that, dog, like everybody else on that stage, dude, Ron DeSantos, bust. Chris Christie, it would have been better, dog, if you would have came out on this hardline stance against Trump when you wasn't licking his balls. Would have been better then.
You know, there, I think there's a little bit of that in all politics too, right? Like, if you look at Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, you know, she went on the attack against Biden so
As you
much so that
should.
I was, yeah, well, as she should, but I'm saying that's pretty typical. You're gonna see that. You're gonna see people who typically would work together, but in these debates are going to attack each other because they're trying to get a one up, a leg up in it.
All right, but here's my thing. Let me start right there for a second, because Kamala Harris worked with him afterwards, after the debate. These folks worked with Trump, saw what he did, and now being like, what he did was bad. Like, it would have been great if you would have did it back then. Like, seriously. Yo, Chris, where are you? Well, where are you at during the Trump administration, my guy? Like, where is this guy? Where is the guy who's throwing them fireballs?
I think to me, that's the appeal of someone like Ramaswamy. And I think that was the appeal of Donald Trump. You know, they are not, or were not, career politicians. Right. And I like Nikki Haley, by the way. I like her a lot. You know, if she has a jump in the polls to a point where she would be a legitimate contender, then I would probably change my mind on that. But you also have to kind of figure, okay, who has the best chance of winning currently, and who aligns with most of your, not political affiliations, but I don't know, thoughts maybe. So Nikki Haley, last time I checked, what was she at, about 7%?
Ramaswamy is over. I think he's on the lower end.
He got up to about 17%, but after the debate, I think he dropped back down to about 10 or 11%.
Because he didn't I mean, he didn't do that great, though, in my opinion. Ramaswamy, he didn't have a lot of meat on the bones. If you want to talk about somebody who just was provocative and a showman, yes. But dude didn't really have a lot of policy at all. And then when dude hopped on the climate change ain't real and big coal, we need to put more carbon in the atmosphere, I'm like, bro, what are you doing, dog? You sound like a talking point machine to me. That was just like, come on, bro. I don't even know if you believe the shit you're saying, dog. Say what you want, because people say I don't want career politicians, but there's something to be said about being a politician. What I want is somebody that's actually going to move change, inflict change, and do something substantive. Just saying I'm not a politician, to me, that seems like you have no experience and you don't know what you're walking into.
Well, I think that in some respects, that can be a good thing.
So why do you
you're
think
not playing? Because you're not playing the
what job.
You're not on a swivel all
what
the time.
What job do you
right?
think that you can come in with no experience and be good at? Like, maybe you can learn on the job, but why is politics the only job that people look at like, oh, man, because he's not a career politician, he's going to be great. It's like, no, dog, you got to know how to do the damn job. So it's something to be said about getting experience. Yo, Ramaswamy, all I'm saying is, dog, be an executive. Why don't you run for governor first, my guy? Like, try that out there. Why not state senate, maybe senator? Get your feet wet, my guy. Don't start at the top. That was the problem I had with Trump, too. Well, one of the many problems I had with him. Like, bro, just because you ran a mom-and-pop real estate business, that don't mean you're ready to run the United States of America. Ramaswamy, get your feet wet, my guy. Like, how dare you have the arrogance and gall? Hey, man, I'm an entrepreneur. I ran a business. So now I'm ready for America. Man, bro, get some experience, man. You still got milk in your bro.
Isn't it, though, essentially, isn't America just a big business?
No.
I disagree.
It's a nonprofit, if anything.
It's still a business.
Nonprofit organization. It's different than running a corporation that's profit driven and trying to get a bottom line and beholden to shareholders at some point.
Well, couldn't you say that citizens are somewhat like shareholders?
You can kind of say that, but it's not
we
right.
We invest in the country, don't we? Don't our personal funds go into the country?
Once again, you can kind of make analysis to it, but it ain't right. The country ain't a business, bro. You can't run like a corporation. You gonna
Trump? You know he.
Are you gonna take America private? Like, yo, all you shareholders, you're out now. I'm going private.
People don't like to admit, though, that Trump actually governed pretty well.
How? I'm just saying, give me examples. How?
Low interest rates. Low unemployment.
How do you affect those? I'm asking, GDP, how did he affect the interest rate?
Let's take a look at inflation since Joe Biden has taken over.
Well, how did inflation start?
The inflation started with the outsourcing of American energy. It also started
when?
By,
I'm sorry.
No, during the Biden administration. No. He Trump was part of it too. They pumped a bunch of money into the economy because of COVID.
Okay.
Right. And this is,
but you just say he lowered inflation, so you can't have both ways. Which one is it? Did he raise inflation or did he lower?
I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, you can't have both ways, man. You can't be like, Trump lowered inflation. Oh, but then he raised it with COVID. So which one is it, bro?
Well, so are you saying now things are going well in the country?
So here's my Joe Biden.
This is my yes or no question. It can be yes or no, but it requires explanation.
Here's the problem. I have a problem with the premise of your question, because that's my problem I had with the Republican debate. It was all painted as doom and gloom. It was like, yo, America's in decline. Oh, we're all doing bad. Still the richest nation in the world. What is in decline? Crime has been on a rise in a lot of cities.
Crime,
overall crime,
inflation.
In general.
The average family has lost $10,000 in buying power because of inflation.
They have. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How do you lower inflation?
You stop pumping money into the economy.
But why are we pumping
money
into the economy?
You work on GDP, like Ramaswamy says. You work on increasing your monetary output as a country.
And how you do that?
Bringing jobs back, bringing energy back.
There, you know, unemployment's the lowest there ever been, right? People are working. The feds are pumping money into the economy right now because of the supply chain issue. So now that you're getting more stuff, like, it was more dollars than it was people buying stuff. So they're pumping money in there to try to cool down the economy. So the thing is, right, yes, interest rates are high. They're going to go down pretty soon. But I keep trying to see, like, what do y'all want Biden to do right now to bring down inflation?
Well,
like,
what I think is funny, I'm actually looking at unemployment rates right now. Cool. We are tied for the lowest. It's 3.5%. In February 2020, it was also 3.5%. There was a tremendous spike where it went up to 14.7% in April.
Right.
And starting to come back down now.
Cool.
So Biden has, I guess he's done a good job bringing it back down.
what do you want Biden to do? So you're saying this country is in decline. How?
I work two jobs right now.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, between you and me, I don't know if I want this public knowledge, but what my wife and I make together, we should be on pretty much on easy street, but we are not, because everything is so fucking expensive right now.
And how's that Biden's fault? I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying, how's that Biden's fault? Explain to me.
God, here we go. So let's look at inflation rates over the last 30 years, 40 years.
Why are you looking that up, man? Yeah. Let me just say another problem I had with the debate was, like, the pivots were so damn poor. Bidenomics. What is Bidenomics? Like, yo, give me
what
some
is
details.
Bidenomics? I would love to know what that is.
Yeah, it was like, dude, it was just a bunch of talking points and pivots with no substance. It was all show to me. And I was just like, the only person that kind of gave me something once again was Nikki Haley. I was just looking at the whole debate like, God damn it, dog. Like, ugh.
What I want to know, let's swivel from the Republican nominees and let's go to the Democratic ones. What do you think is going to go there? Do you think Biden will actually be the nominee, or do you think Gavin Newsom and other people are preparing for? Do you think, let me ask and answer this honestly, do you think Joe Biden is of sound mind right now?
Do I think he's in sound mind?
Yeah. Do you think he's coherent? Do you think he is mentally there?
Are you saying, do I think he has dementia or he's crazy?
Yeah. No, dementia.
I'm not a doctor, but do I think personally?
You don't have to be a doctor.
No.
How many people just zone out and talk gibberish and fall down stairs every week, it seems like?
Here's the thing, though. He fell off a bike.
He's done more than fall off a bike.
He fell over a sandbag. My question is, here we go. What? Because you keep saying here we go. What do you mean?
I mean, what I mean
am
by
I,
that
am I not
is
allowed to have an opinion?
You're like, circling around the question. Do you honestly think that
Cam, this is a
Joe
podcast,
Biden,
man. I'm giving my opinion. Is the response to everything I'm going to say, here we go again. When have I diminished your point and said, oh, here we go?
Okay, I apologize.
So I'm saying, like, can I not say my point? So, like, and this is part of the problem of the discourse. Nobody can say their opinion without somebody diminishing it and being like, oh, well, your point doesn't mean anything. Not once, when you made your point, have I been like, oh, my God, here go a talking point. No, this is your opinion, bro. So I'm going to need you to respect my opinion like I respect yours, man.
Okay, I respect your opinion.
Well, thank you.
Do you think Joe Biden is in mental decline?
All right, now let me get my answer, please. All right, so.
I'm listening.
I don't think that he is in tip-top shape. But he's a senior. Now, do I think he's competent enough to do the job?
No.
As of now? Yeah, how long that'll last, I don't know. But I do think there's a problem with our overall leadership. We're becoming a gerontocracy. Everybody in Congress is just old as hell. We just got old people, bro. Like, the average age of Congress was like 65, 70. You need more goddamn young people. And that's kind of the problem why we can't get shit moving forward. Because, like, yo, it's a reason why Social Security is so goddamn high, but you can't get the child tax care credit established.
Well, that kind of ties back into pop. That kind of ties in the population decline too, though, right? Because we have the baby boomers who are now in retirement age collecting on Social Security, but we have fewer people paying into it.
Why is the population decline? I would say this, man, because I don't want to bring a child in here because I don't know how I'm going to pay for it, right? Which goes
right,
to your point
right.
about like how everything costs too damn much. I just don't think it's all the president. Like, I don't think the president has a magic wand to be like, yo, man, everything's cheap now. Speaking of which, like, things that Joe Biden wanted to do, one of them was student loan repayment. And everybody pitched a big-ass hissy fit about that. That would have put the average American on footing to buy into more of the American dream. Giving the regular people a bailout. Bailouts we don't gave companies. I don't know, we don't have four bailouts for the goddamn airline company since I've been alive. Corporations get bailout. Wall Street get bailout. States get bailout. But goddamn it. Regular people who took loans to try to get upward mobility, personal responsibility. But GMC didn't have to take personal responsibility. We bailed them out. Ford, Dodge, you got this money. Come get it. New York, man, all this money. Wall Street, the people who put us in decline and got us all these goddamn derivatives and play casino with our money, huh? Here goes some money, man. Golden parachute for you guys. But hey, anybody who got a loan to try to get upward mobility, and then didn't get that upper mobility after you got a degree, personal responsibility for you. I don't know, dog. Shit is just weird to me.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that. I don't disagree with you on that at all. There are some talking points there I'm not going to go into, but.
I don't know, man. I look at this whole debate of the Republican Party as a dog and pony show with no substance, bro. And that's what scares me.
I think that's back to boring politics. My argument is that's politics in general right now. That's not exclusive to the Republican Party.
I'm not going to disagree with you. No, I totally agree with you. That's the problem. I want to go back to boring politics. And the first step is getting rid of that goddamn crowd. Like, the debate format is not working. I don't care. Nobody said that shit ain't conducive to having a conversation. I got more out of that Trump town hall that was a shit show, too. But the problem with that one was the crowd again. Like, yo, ain't no way in hell Trump could have said some of the shit he said without a crowd and people be like, oh, whoa, what did he just say? Like the rape jokes? People be like, what? But when you get the rape joke with the crowd, like, woo, yeah! It has a whole different weight, bruh. Like, even the beginning of the debate, the first question could have been a substantive question, but then they tied it into a number one charting song on the Billboard. Man, fuck that song. Give a fuck about dude. Richmond, north of right. Richmond. I don't give a fuck about that song, bro. Like, give me some policy, dog. If you saying that the president is in control of inflation, how the fuck you gonna lower it, dog? Like, this is my problem with all this shit, dude. There is no substance no more. And you can say it's on both sides. I would totally agree. Like, take the crowd out of all that shit, man. Give me a plan.
One thing I like DeSantis kept pushing is, like, why are we going back to January 6th as a Republican? Like, why are people focused on that? Why are we not focusing on moving forward and working on the issues in this country now? That is something I will give DeSantis props for, is, you know, they kept talking about, and you have to understand, like, when it's the Republican primary, right? I think that that carries different weight than if it were both parties involved in it. Am I making sense at all there?
No, here's the thing. I'm agree with you. And this is why I'm agree with you. Because at some point, as a Republican, and this is going back to my original point, we know what dude did. He's being held for it right now. We know what dude did. All right, he did it. Cool. It happened. What's your plan for the future? Get that to me. We're not going to skirt over and forget it. He's being held accountable for it. So let the criminal justice system do what it got to do, and you give me a plan for the future. Yes, January 6th was bad. We all saw it, man. It was terrible. But yes, in the Republican primary, I need to know what your plan is. And like I said, the only person that gave me any semblance of a plan was the homie Nikki Haley, my pick. And I think she's going to win, bro. I think y'all keep sleeping on Nikki.
But do you think she could beat Joe Biden?
Yes. Definitely. I said this in the previous podcast, and I'll say it again.
I don't disagree with you on that, by the way. I'm just curious on your take.
Well, here's the thing, though. I feel like any Democrat better be aware, because if Trump does get the nomination, which he's not, I'm on record saying he's not going to get the nomination. But if he did get the nomination, Biden would beat Trump again. But I truly believe anybody else who gets the nomination, I'm not so sure Biden wins, bro.
That's what
everybody needs to be worried about on the Democratic side.
And did we already discuss this? Or did I see a figure 70% of Americans don't want to see a Trump-Biden matchup again?
We ain't talking about it, but I can believe it. I didn't see that stat, but I can believe that, Douglas. I don't want to see that shit, bro.
Yeah.
I don't, like, dude. Biden won because he wasn't Trump. And that was enough, because everybody saw what fucking Trump was doing. I'm not so sure, dude, if you get a Nikki Haley or a Liz Cheney or even a goddamn, Ramaswamy, I think he'll lose. Honestly. Because he's too Trump adjacent. He's too Trump adjacent, dog. Like,
he's younger. I think he'll get some more of your younger population than Donald Trump or Joe Biden would.
In the middle, though?
I feel like he would get more voters out and the younger, you know, because you have to think how many people are just frustrated. How many people don't vote because they're like, it's between Joe Biden and Donald Trump.
When you say young, how young do you mean?
I mean, like, our age.
Okay. All right.
Millennial.
I thought you were talking about 18 to 25. He ain't going to bring them out now. And I feel like maybe people our age, like maybe 45 to maybe 35, he can get some of them on the Republican side. But I think people in the middle, they're going to get turned off on dude. He's too much of a firebrand right now, dog. He's doing a Trump impersonation. And I think that's going to turn people off. Because if I'm going to get the impersonation, dog, give me the real thing. Because once again, I keep going back to that, we need to burn more coal, burn more. I was like, dude. Middle of the road Americans ain't going to fall for that shit, bro. Like, that's a good talking point for the primary, and true enough, everybody in the primary go farther to the side, they go far right, far left, then they bring it back into the middle. But a lot of stuff dude is saying, I don't know if it's going to fly, bro.
He has floated ending aid to Israel.
I can't, like, knock that.
Because I see a quote here, it says he's called anti-Semitism a symptom of something that is broken in our society. Ukraine's Jewish president is mistreating Jews. He says, I would just say there are open questions about his treatment of religious minorities, including but not limited to Jews in Ukraine, that I think should be among the reasons we should stop short of holding him out as some sort of hero.
Well, I'm actually a proponent of we do need to look at Zelensky as a leader.
I agree as well.
Because there was a Nazi problem there that we kind of swept under the rug, if we being honest. And also there was a lot of black people that was in Ukraine being treated unfairly when the war first started, it was trying to force them folks to fight. However, I'm saying this as somebody with Ukrainian friends who I love, and I do still support the Ukrainian war, and I think we should have went in there because it's a proxy war, but we do need to look at a lot of this worship of Zelensky.
What is your take on, and this is something Ramaswamy has stated, his concern is that by the U.S. being in Ukraine, we're pushing Russia into China's arms from a military standpoint. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's already there. I mean, he's not wrong, but that was already happening, bro.
So if that's the case, and you know, I kind of think of like pre-World War era when the U.S. just kind of minded their own business.
It didn't work out, though.
Why do you think... Why do you think we should continue aiding Ukraine? Because from what the last statistics I've heard, we've had about 400,000 Ukrainians have died, about 40,000 Russians. So no matter what the media is saying, I would definitely say Ukraine is losing this war. 12 million refugees have left Ukraine, going to other European countries who have said they will not come back. So what is the end game in Ukraine? Is what, and I'm not... I just want to know. I want to know what is.
You asking me my personal opinion about the end game.
Your personal opinion, and I don't mean like whole like you know.
No, I've thought about this. No, I seriously
you know this. You know the whole. I've thought about this. What we're do you think what we're being told is the actual motivation behind the Ukrainian war? Like,
what do you mean
holding communism at bay, keeping it from moving west?
I don't think that was the reason for you. No, that's not the stated reason for the Ukrainian war. Holding communism at bay. The stated reason for Ukrainian war is that when Ukraine gave up their nuclear weapons, we said we would defend them, we'll step in, defend them, and Russia invaded a sovereign country. That's the reason.
So
why
I've heard some of the reasons Russia has invaded is because we've actually placed nuclear missiles in the vicinity of Ukraine.
Did we? That where
that could reach. Well, let's look it up.
I'm saying I never heard of
Turkey. Turkey was one of them.
So we placed nuclear weapons in Turkey. America did.
Yes. Or weapons.
Erdogan let us put nuclear weapons in Turkey. I've never heard of this. That'd be news to me.
So there's an article here. It's time to get U.S. nukes out of Turkey, according to the Federation of American Scientists. The U.S. military maintains 150 B-61 nuclear gravity bombs. Sorry, I'm reading through this article.
No, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Reportedly, 50 of those are located at an American facility at the Turkish air base in, and forgive my mispronunciation here, in Incirlik. However, it does mention that there are tensions between the Turkish leader and the U.S. and European.
All right, so let's say NATO has bombs in Turkey. I don't think that's a U.S. particular
thing. Well, I think, but the nature of NATO is, you know, we are part of NATO, right? And I think that's what Vladimir Putin is so adamant about, is not having Ukraine join NATO because
that's... And to do that, I'm going to invade Ukraine. See, all right, so the end game for this, in my opinion, it can go one of three ways. Either Putin is overstepping and it's going to be a coup in Russia. He's going to be overthrown, or he's going to throw a lot more folks out the window to keep power, because I think he is a old bear and the decline is really happening. But ultimately what probably end up happening is Ukraine's going to give up a little bit of their land in the name of peace and they stay a sovereign nation. So was it Crimea? That might end up going to Russia in a peace talk later on. Because like you said, Ukraine is losing a lot of people, but Russia is also being exposed as not being the superpower they are. So what's going to probably end up happening is Russia is probably going to take a little piece of Ukraine, call it a win, and Zelensky gets to stay president and call it a win too. That's probably end up happening. And then Ukraine will probably be in NATO 5 to 10 years from now. If I had to guess, that's going to be in the game. Or they get some kind of assurance that 10 or 20 years from now, they'd be part of NATO. That's how I think it's going to wrap up.
Right.
There's really no good ways to end this war. I will say Ukraine as a sovereign nation should never have been invaded. And Russia was doing this even before Trump. I think, yeah, during Obama, they was taking parts of Ukraine and we should have been doing some shit. We didn't. So, like, this shouldn't have been a shock to anybody either. Russia was always creeping in, doing a little shit. So, I don't know. But,
I mean, even, do you think that's something we want to pursue in terms of, do you think, because Ukraine's military power right now, the people they have to fight, it's dwindling. So it's probably going to get to a point where they don't have soldiers left. And does that mean if the U.S. gets involved, is that an open act of war against Russia?
Yeah,
that's my concern. My concern is, and Ramaswamy's as well, is do we have the military might to stand against Russia and China?
Yeah, we do. Because we got NATO. I mean, that's like, well, really, that's why you have NATO.
Doesn't the U.S. fund most of NATO, though?
Yeah, but what that got to do is, yes, we fund most of NATO. That's why we got them. So, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But
yes, Turkey, jump in this war. Hey, France, what you got on this war? Yes, that's the point of NATO.
That's my point, though.
Germany, so come on, fight.
If we're primarily funding NATO, then that would be... Wouldn't one assume by default?
We're not the only country in NATO. Yes, we're funding NATO, but we're not the only country. So, yes, Germany got some bodies. Go ahead, give me some of them bodies, Germany. France, you got some bodies. Come on, France. Give me them bodies. Yo, UK, what you got on this war? Yes, that's the point of having NATO. Yeah, what was it? Switzerland, Poland? Yeah, you got some bodies too. So, yes, if Russia gets bucked and we have to go to war, that's when we call on NATO, man. And we take NATO and China. We're going to take NATO. We take Russia and China to war with NATO. That's why you have an alliance. So, yeah, I think we could do it. We're funding NATO. So, yes, you're paying this money, man. Cool. Time to pay y'all bill. Come give me this help.
Well, you know, we know Canada's in our corner. So, that's promising.
Actually, if you do the history, man, like most of them Geneva Convention laws, because of Canada.
Right.
Canada was out there doing some wild shit, bro. Like, our Canadian brothers, y'all think they nice. They really ain't that nice, bro. Like, go through the history and war trophies and shit like that. That was the Canadians, bro. Yeah, man, Ukraine's a funny thing to me. I am pro sticking up for Ukraine, but I do know the end game is going to be a little rough. I don't think we should kowtow and capitulate to Putin. However, like I said, concessions are going to have to be made because it's going to have to end. Yes. It can't be another never-ending war. So the end of the war ain't going to make nobody happy, but I do think it's
right.
Coming to an end.
Well, what's interesting to me, too, in looking at war, and I've looked up the top 20 militaries in the world. What's interesting to me is that the U.S. certainly has the highest budget, right? It's $601 billion, and this is of spring 2023.
A lot of greenbacks.
A lot of green. You know, Russia, their budget, they're number two. It's $84.5 billion.
A lot of rubles.
A lot of rubles. Yeah, but here's what's interesting. So active frontline personnel. The U.S. definitely has a superiority in aircraft. Tanks, though, they're about half as much as Russia and a little bit less than China. But what's interesting to me, frontline personnel. So Russia is 766,000. That's roughly half of the U.S., but China is 2.3 million. And then number four, this is where it really drops off. Number four is Japan, with 247,000.
I know, they had that many.
Yeah, I know. India. Now, India, I think, would be the big player here. Now, they don't have the budget. It's 50 billion, but they have 1.3 million frontline personnel. So I feel, what do you think?
Why doesn't anybody include any African nations in none of this shit?
Let's see.
You know, I always wonder, like, during World War II and I, like, what would y'all think about these African countries? Like, yo, they didn't exist.
Like, oh, I know.
Hey.
Hey.
Like, what war?
There is an African. I wouldn't really consider it what you're talking about, African, but Egypt is number 12. Are you thinking more something like
Sub-Saharan Kenya? African?
Yeah.
I'm talking about black and black African. Like, Egyptians are African, and you know, we got to claim them, the African, but yeah. Okay. Just tying this all in the bow when it comes to like the Republican debates. Me personally, I felt like I didn't get a lot from it. I didn't hear anything to help America, or I'm just gonna be honest, I didn't hear nothing to really help black people in general. And some of y'all might be looking and hearing that like, oh my God, black people. Yeah, man, that's part of my base too. Like, yo, like we fall in groups, and yes, we should help all Americans, but some Americans are a little more behind than other Americans, and we need to look at how we're gonna raise everybody up as Americans. Because there are historical disparities. So I don't know. For me personally, I was hoping it'd be more meat on the bone, but that's my take. What do you think, brother man?
I would say, yeah, African Americans were not really discussed or talked about in that debate, other than Ramaswamy talking about going to certain neighborhoods that other Republicans have not. He cited Chicago and was it Minneapolis or what was the others or Philadelphia? Maybe I forget the other city.
But is that code for black? Chicago is. Chicago has always been a dog.
Yeah, I know black. Chicago was, and he, what he found surprising, and this could just be hearsay, I don't know, but I think the disparity and the issues there with that population concerning the southern border, and I know this is a whole nother topic, but I think and I might be messing this number up. I think right now at the southern border, a lot of your illegal immigrants coming through, meaning they don't have proper visas and all that, right at the first place. But anyway, they're each receiving about $2,200. And so what he mentioned in Chicago, at least, a lot of the black people there were frustrated because it's like, okay, why are we giving all this money to people who aren't even citizens, yet, you know, we're struggling.
It's not like a good call for reparations. Hey, let's go on quick with this reparation package then. Let's do it.
What would that include?
No,
the reparations package. Like, what would that look like?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that, man.
I'm not going against it or for it. I'm just curious what that looks like.
Okay, so here's the one thing about reparations. When you say reparations, it's been this thing that people conflate what it really is to what they think there is. So let me say what reparations are not. Reparations don't affect you, white Americans. It doesn't. It's not anybody taking money from you, white people, and giving it to black people. It's not a redistribution of wealth. In all honesty, it's really not about you. It's about the U.S. government, holding the U.S. government accountable for atrocities the U.S. government sanctioned. So that's the first thing. It ain't, oh, white folks got to pay black people. That's not what it is. Also, reparations are not like a cash payment, or they don't have to be. They could include cash payments, but it's not necessarily a cash payment. So you asking me personally what I would like to see in a reparations packet. There are things that you can point throughout history that were systematically done to black people and left us out of wealth building projects, things that are affecting us today. And that's another argument about reparations I hate. Well, that happened in the past. No, dumbass, that happened in the past is affecting black people now. It's a now issue. So if you're trying to actually make it a more fair and equitable America, you're gonna have to deal with what happened in the past now. Dumb fucks. But what a reparation package? We know black people were left out of the GI Bill and education. They was told they couldn't do that. So in ways of reparation, why not say, yo, hey, black people, we know we left you out of education and we underfunded your schools. So why don't we just say, yo, bro, community college on us. That's on us, guys. College is on us. Every state ran
country college. Sir. Tennessee actually offers 2-year education to all of its citizens.
Yes, I'm saying specifically though, in ways of black people, say, hey, black people, your education's on us, buddy. far as you want to go, that's on us. And we know redlining was a thing. We know black people was kept out of the housing market. So, hey, why don't we say, yo, we got a fixed rate, low interest rate loan for every black person to be a homeowner. Here you go, buddy. And ways of reparations. There you go. Every black person, you get this low fixed rate, interest rate, I don't know, 2%. In ways, because we can up, because that's the quickest way to up mobility in America is to be a homeowner. And we also want more black people to own homes in their own neighborhoods. So there, bam, there you go, buddy. Yeah. In ways of reparations, we're going to do that. Like, that could be a reparations package. It doesn't have to just be like, yo, every black person here is $3.5 million. Now, I'm not going to lie. As a black person, if you offer me $3.5 million, I'm going to take that job. Let's get this thing popping, bro. Yeah. But, like, that can be reparations. Like, reparations are not just a cash payment, and it's not about white people. It's about the U.S. government. That was the entity that was alive during there that could be held accountable. It's not about holding you accountable for something your great-great-great-granddaddy did. Fuck your great-great-granddaddy, be honest. It ain't about him. It's about the U.S. government. That's the entity that was around. And the U.S. government sanctioned these atrocities to happen, and they should be held accountable. I think everybody would agree with that. Like, most people, when you position reparations like that, they'd be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
But, you know, right. But I don't know. A lot of the discourse we have around a lot of this shit, it's just the wording of it. Like, I don't know how woke became what it did now, because that's not what it meant. Like, black folks been using woke since 80, but all of a sudden now in the mainstream culture, it becomes a pejorative term for anything you don't like, and nobody explains it. So since nobody explains it, then it becomes whatever you want it to be. But that's woke. What is
that's what I love about Bill Burr. He actually said, yeah, woke was actually appropriated by middle-aged white women.
Not just them, just white guys too. Like Ron DeSantis has a war against woke. What does that include, Ron? Like, you're banning books in Florida right now. I thought that was what y'all was talking about. Freedom, the council culture. How can you be against council culture and you cancel
the books? Is he banning the books completely, or is it just to elementary students, like third grade and under?
Once again,
this is where I agree with Ron DeSantis. I don't think books of any kind of sexual nature should be read by elementary students, at least not before third grade.
What counts as sexual nature?
I mean, anything like talking about menstruation and talking about puberty and things like that. I feel like that's something a little more appropriate once they get a little older, right? Now, if we're talking about the transgender movement, I'm gonna take this approach. I don't think that should be a discussion until someone is into adulthood. And I also think the parents should be involved in that discussion too. There are states like California where the teachers and the schools don't actually have to inform the parents. If the student approaches them and says, you know, I think I'm transgender and all this, they don't actually have to tell the parent.
I agree with that. Why would you got to tell the parent? If a kid comes
because in, it's their kid.
Yeah, but here's my thing.
Okay. Let me put it this way. I have a 13-year-old daughter. I have a 13-year-old daughter. She swivels on the way she feels about everything from week to week. I just don't think that should be a decision they should be able to make.
You didn't say a decision. You just said talking to them.
They can actually. They can start hormonal treatment.
No,
in California, yes, they can.
Teachers can start the hormonal treatment for kids.
Yes,
without the parents' consent.
Mm-hmm.
Man, please put me some documents on that, dog. I think that's a talking point. I don't think that's happening in America, dog. Like, plus, the number of trans kids in America is like, what, 1%, less than 1%? So I don't know. I think this is legislation looking for a problem, bro. I think this is another way to demonize the others and make trans people the problem. But in most cases, dog, this is not even the issue, dog. In all honesty.
Well, I think that's...
It's a non-issue, man. Abortion. They have a late-term abortion. That's not happening, bro. Nobody's killing babies after they get out the womb or before that. It's like, bro, a lot of this shit has just been sensationalized, and that's my point, bro. It's like, Ain't nobody killing babies like that, bro. Even getting on the abortion thing, we've seen throughout this last year that even red states are like, yo, once you are given the option of eradicating abortion totally, even in red state, folks are like, no. Right? Because a lot of this shit is just talking points, bro. Like, it ain't happening. Like this transphobic type of shit that people are like, oh, it's gonna be a problem. It's just people capitalizing off people's fear and ignorance. But for the most part, it ain't no trans problem, bro. And honestly, even with the gay shit and the trans shit, it don't affect you, bro. It don't. If I see a dude walk by in booty shorts, I don't give a fuck.
I agree. I don't care. But there are certain elements of it that I do care about, like trans women competing in women's sports. I don't think that's right.
Nah, I'm with you. Nah,
you know, I mean, yeah.
I mean, yes, I mean that's a point of convergence. We can agree. Yes.
But
it's not a lot of them. And that's another thing too. It's like, I'm sorry, my trans women who transitioned to womanhood. I don't think the gap between biological woman and trans woman is 2 years of hormonal therapy. I just don't. Now, maybe you can show me the science, and maybe I got some blind spots on this, but you just can't convince me that.
I'm sorry, say that again for me. I'm sorry, I just want to make sure I got it.
Maybe you can show me the science behind it, but I don't think the gap between biological man and trans woman is 2 years of hormonal therapy. I don't think that. Personally, like if you got the science to back it up and show me that I'm wrong, show me, I'm open to that. But I'm just saying, I just know myself as a fighter who got some fights under my belt. If I just got in a ring with a woman as a man and beat the dog shit out of a woman, y'all gonna be like, man, that's monstrous.
Right.
Y'all gonna be like, that is just wrong. Right. I don't see myself, if I got 2 years of hormone therapy, not still having this edge of manliness. I don't know. Because we make, like, look, bro, we make weight classes for a reason. I can't even fight like certain dudes. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, seriously, when I was fighting, I couldn't fight a guy that was 300 pounds. And, I mean, I could have, but it's an advantage.
Right.
So you got to acknowledge that advantages exist. They exist. And some advantages you can't mitigate. Like, if we're playing basketball, if you're 6'4", you got an advantage on me being 5'8". That's a natural advantage. That ain't the same as me, you know. Okay, I guess me being a biological man is a natural advantage, but that's something we can mitigate, you know. I just feel like we got to be realistic about that whole thing. But overall, denying rights and somebody's rights to transition, we shouldn't do that.
We shouldn't. And I'm not saying we deny anyone's right to transition. I'm saying that should probably be something decided into adulthood. And I know there are arguments about puberty blockers and all that stuff, making that transition before puberty begins. But
Here's my thing. It's not the process for it though already. And it, before, like, people don't know the process. We talk about this, but we don't actually know the process of transition. There's a long, strenuous process to get a teenager to transition. And there's not a lot of teenagers actually doing the transition. Like, that's the honest to God truth. But the process, people don't know what it is. It's a long, strenuous psychological test. And for every question you have, there is an answer if you research it. It's just a lot of us don't have the understanding about what goes on to it. It's just basically kind of like with the gay issue before we got more open minded. It's like, ooh, gross, I don't understand it. Which is cool. Right. But I'm saying you gotta openly acknowledge that there are answers to your question. Like, okay, well, should there be a psych eval? Yes, there's a psych eval. Well, the parents got a consent. Yes, the parents do have consent to that. You know, me personally, I don't get it. I'm gonna say that.
Yeah.
And I hope I don't offend nobody by saying it, but I don't fucking get it. But that's why I'm not trans either.
Right.
I'm not attracted to dudes. That's why I'm not gay. You know, so it's just like, but it's not offending me if I see, I got trans friends. Like, shit, we can kick it. We can talk. That's it.
Right.
It's just a lot of this shit I think is being used unfairly as a lightning rod. Like, even gay culture now is being used. Oh, drag queens. Like, what does a dude in a dress got to do with these goddamn potholes in Memphis and in Tennessee? Like, a lot of shit is being used that shouldn't be used. Like, a lot of shit comes down to four words: mind your goddamn business.
Like, right.
Just mind your goddamn business.
Well, I think too, you know, and that's why we have states, right? Because people think differently, they feel differently. I don't think you can discount a religious family's concern about a transgender person reading story time to their children, or a drag person, a drag.
You can feel that way, but the U.S. government should not infringe on somebody else's right to be who they want to be. And that's my point.
Sense, if you don't want your child to be exposed to something like that, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Is it an infringement on your right to have it done anyway?
Okay, so here's the thing. You keep saying have it done anyway. I don't know of any parent that's being left out the loop for transition. Now, if you can show me some stuff and what happened,
I'm sorry. I'm talking about like drag queens reading like story time at schools and things like that.
Well, yeah, no. Do you think you can keep your kid away from that. If you don't want your kid going to that, cool. But I don't think you have the right to be like, and it shouldn't happen. Okay, I tell you, you have a right to be against it, but you should not use intimidation and fear if I want to send my kid to the drag queens to get some story time in.
Okay.
Like, if I choose to send my kid over there to hear some stories from the drag queens, you shouldn't demean, belittle my kids or those drag queens doing that. But you have a right to take your kid away from that. Yes, but I think it should be a two-way street. And that's the problem I have with a lot of these, honestly, Republicans, dog. Like, you talking about taking away rights, and I got a problem with that. The right of abortion is really like the right to mind your own goddamn business. Because how would you know if somebody's having an abortion if you're not sticking your nose somewhere it don't belong? Like, technically, your wife, my wife, could have had like 50 fucking abortions. Who cares? That ain't your goddamn business. Shut the fuck up. Like, seriously.
Well, you know, that's the thing between like, you know, Jenny and I, to be honest with you, in our relationship, we are pro-life. For other people, that's your decision.
Yeah.
That's your decision. You know what I'm saying? If she get, you know, we weren't trying to have a baby. She got pregnant. We're just of the belief that life is life, you know, whether it's a clump of cells or eventually becomes a human life. That's our opinion. However, at the same time, if that decision is between a woman and her doctor, and maybe I'm a little old school here, but if the woman is married, I think the man should be part of that conversation too.
Should definitely be part of the conversation.
Yeah. You know, once you enter into a marriage, it's kind of like a partnership.
It is a domestic partnership. Yeah. That's what marriage is. It's a domestic partnership. It's a partnership.
Now, I will say this though. I love what Dave Chappelle says about it. It's any woman's right to get an abortion, but the man should have the right to decide if he wants to help support that child or not. My money, my choice.
I mean, so that actually brings up a good point though. He said it jokingly, but I do believe that a woman should have body autonomy. And if I'm married, my wife should include me. She doesn't have to, but she should include me on that point. But I do think we need to reform how we look at like child support and family planning issues if we're going to be a more fair and equitable America. And I say that as a father who, well, you know my past, bro.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get into it right here, but like the court system is not really set up for a man to win in most cases. I do think divorce is more common, and we're going to have to look at relationships from here on out. We are going to have to restructure that.
The nuclear family is just, and this is across races and socioeconomic groups. It is in decline.
It is.
There are more single parent households now in every population group, for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part.
So, you know, and if you look at some of the statistics, you know, when you have a two parent home, that kid is just set up to do so much better than single family. It just makes sense if you think about it, especially now with women in the workplace. Most families have two streams of income now. You know, you have what I find in like single mother or single father instances, you know, they're working so hard to just put food on the table. They're not able and this is kind of a blanket statement, this doesn't mean everyone doesn't, but they're tired, you know, they're probably not checking up on their kids' homework. Now, some are, I'm sure a lot of parents do, but I think across the line, you know, education begins to suffer because you don't have that partnership. And I'm not like an old school, like everyone must get married, you know, type thing like that. But I think having two parents in the same household to financially support that child, to both tag team education, make sure the kid's working on homework and all that stuff, you lose that in single family households. And then, you know,
I'm gonna flip this though. You don't necessarily gain that in double households either. I think the
but it's
I think
more the, prevalent.
Maybe. Could be.
I think
we've overstated like the significance of the two parent household, in my opinion. A lot of times it's not a net positive having two parents in the house. I'm just gonna be honest. I've seen situations where one partner just don't do they have and they just lazy as fuck. And I guess that comes down to who you pick. But in general, I do agree with your premise. If you have two forms of income, you got two partners putting in the work. Yes.
Right.
You get the advantage, but that's not necessarily guaranteed by you being in the household. And I'm saying that with a level of you know.
Well, yeah, it's not guaranteed, but.
So I just think a lot of stuff too comes down to structurally how we look at stuff that we're paying for. As you know, I just came back from Japan, and what helps a lot there is daycare is free, subsidized for their kids and the parents. The kids get to be two, three. You can send them daycare subsidized, is low cost. Yeah. That helps. After school programs are prevalent. Most kids don't leave school to 4:45 because they bolster clubs and activities.
Yeah.
You got to think in America, man, like a lot of our kids get out at 3:30, 2:30, and most don't get out of work to 5, don't get to 6. So you got like 4 hours of just fuck up time to get these kids to bullshit. We need to restructure a lot of our system to be more like congruent to family life. And really support the family life, because we say we pro family, so we need to adjust a lot of this shit. Like, I'm not gonna say the company I work for right now, but the company I work for right now, they do something called summer hours, where they know that your kids are out for school, so they let you leave work early, which I think is dope.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we need to look at this.
There needs to be a shift. There needs to be a shift. There needs to be more help out there for single mothers. There needs to be. I love what you said, like extracurricular activities to keep kids in a safe, healthy environment too. I think that's something, especially in the city of Memphis, like is just so grossly overlooked. The city has some issues, which, you know, we don't have time to get into.
Oh, that's another podcast. Maybe.
Yeah, that's a whole another podcast.
That's a series of things wrong with Memphis.
Yes, yes. And, you know, we don't have those. You know, for example, like I'll give you, you know, when I lived in Buffalo, one thing that was cool about public schools there is, one, they had after school activities that just about anyone could get involved with. This is middle school, by the way. I mean, like baseball, soccer, football. The only thing parents had to pay out of pocket for these sports were your footwear. So uniforms were provided by the school. Practices were at the school directly after after school.
There you go.
And they also provided transportation. The buses would take you home from practice. Whereas in Memphis, we don't have that.
No,
we don't have the buses. You. Everything's on you.
You got to be fundraising.
Kids, yeah.
Kids got to sell candy bars and shit.
Yeah.
Try to get uniforms. Yes. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
And like, for example, Diana, like she's in cheer, but cheer starts right after school. Now, would you think cheer would be at the school? No, it's not.
Nope, different location.
Different location. So now parents are trying to figure out how the carpool, because everyone works till 5. Like, how do you get your kid to cheer at 3:30, 4 o'clock? You can't leave work, you know, early 3 days a week, you know, at like, because in order to get your kid to cheer on time, that means you need to leave by 2:30.
Yes.
So Buffalo in taxes were higher, but you saw that benefit. And one thing I loved about Buffalo too, and this is coming from my parents, obviously I wasn't paying taxes in middle school, but they'd offer a tax credit or reimbursement. If you chose to send your child to a private school, you would get a credit. I'm not sure if it was a credit or reimbursement. It was one of the two. But anyway, you got some sort of tax back, right? So if you chose a private option, you got some of your tax money back.
I can ride with that. I can ride with that. If you're paying for it, you get a little bit of reimbursement, man. It's still for the education. That's the problem I have with a lot of drive-by political pundits, like, or people who just like nationalize politics. Politics are really local, dude. Like, what affects your life is your local politics. This is your city council, your city hall, your mayor. You need to be on them folks' asses, man. You need to know your goddamn alderman. Like, you need to know them, the guys that's really affecting you, dude. These national people, though, for the most part, these folks, you see from these debates, they playing popularity contests.
Yeah.
Learn your local politics. But, you know, I don't want to end